الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد: المسجد الحرام ومسجد هذا والمسجد الأقصى. متفق عليه. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. طول شيء بعد. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, there's an expiry date on everything. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Everyone has to taste death and experience it. And we were lucky, alhamdulillah, that we had the best of batteries, Duracell batteries, spare one, Bashir bhai bought it, alhamdulillah. But again, this is the practice of the shaitan called basar. It loves causing annoyance, especially when it comes to the Quran and Hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to continue from where we left off in the last session, from the many Buzruganideen saints, awliyaullah, very close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, resting in the sacred and blessed area of Iraq, one great Buzrug who until today, alhamdulillah, is resting in Iraq. And he is so famous that, alhamdulillah, every Muslim child is aware of his great name, a great faqih. In fact, a faqih that is followed until today by millions and millions of Muslims throughout the world, Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Even Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is resting in Iraq. Imam Hazrat Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi, Sheikh Surri Sabti rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Ma'ruf Karkhi, so many Buzrugani Deen, Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is resting in Iraq. He was born in Kufa, one of the famous cities in Iraq. One is Baghdad, the other one is Basra, where the troops have entered, also in Baghdad. We don't hear much about Kufa, but Kufa is the city in which Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was born. Kufa is very special also because Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala, the grand sahabi of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was dispatched in that area to educate the people of Kufa about Quran and Hadith from Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala. His teachings, his understanding of the Sunnah is preserved in Kufa and in that part of the region. And alhamdulillah, the basis of the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is also under the platform of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, and he has heard everything from Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, in the area where he is resting today, that part of the region is known as A'zamiyya. There is a beautiful masjid there also, and also a madrasa. The masjid is named after Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. And it is quite incredible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants to take khidmat of His deen, of His religion, He is not muhtaj, indigent of anyone. a person does not need to be an Arab by his identity or by his birth to do khidmat of this beautiful deen. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi was not an Arab. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi was not an Arab. All these great muhaddithin, no doubt the Arabic language is very, very important, and in order to understand this deen, we have to be well versed in the Arabic language. But the real thing is your taqwa. If you are muttaqi, and if you are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way that is explained by Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is Iman and that is Islam. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was not an Arab. Unfortunately, we get a lot of people today who don't have the respect of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, and it is very, very unfortunate. Some people even go as far as saying that Imam Abu Hanifa did not have the power to speak the Arabic language. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's command over the Arabic language is phenomenal. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi's teachers are the students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. The great Imam, the Faqih, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, is a student of Imam Muhammad, and Imam Muhammad is the student of Imam Abu Hanifa, and Imam Muhammad was a Hanafi, and Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi was his student. So that is the knowledge, my respected brothers. He is the only individual from the fuqaha, from the Islamic jurists that were there, to have that title to be a tabi'een. A tabi'een means those people, those who have seen the companions, sahaba-i kiram, ajma'een. Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi had the privilege to meet and make ziyarat of Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala was the attendant. He was the khadim of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One of the very few sahabis who lived a long age. And because of the barakat of Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala, many, many were blessed with this honor of being tabi'in. Some of the fuqaha have even mentioned that Hazrat Sahal bin Sa'ad radiyallahu ta'ala, a great sahabi, Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi met also Hazrat Sahal radiyallahu ta'ala. Allama Aini rahmatullah alayhi has gone as far as saying that when Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was 20 years of age, he directly heard hadith from the companions. Now this is very, very important, my respected brothers. We are used to listening to different stories and different things historically, but to understand the status of the fuqaha in the times, and especially in the times of crisis, that is very, very important, because the shaitan now is trying his very, very hard to break Islam by dismantling it. And if you dismantle fiqh, there is no skeleton. Everything simply comes down. That is why the status of a faqih is much more than a mufassir, than a muhaddith. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh was a muhaddith. Other great people were mufassireen. But a faqih is that person who has combined all the sciences. And that is when he gets that honor of being a faqih. So he knows the full tafsir, he knows all the ahadith, and he has that power of ijtihad, he is a mujtahid. Then he becomes this great faqih, and people are there to follow him. This is the status of Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh's name was Nu'man bin Thabit. Abu Hanifa is just a title that is given to him. But his name, some of the ulama have said that the reason why his name is Hanifa. Hanifa means also Abu Hanifa, the father of Hanifa. Some people say that he had a daughter whose name was Hanifa, and it's like Abu Hanifa, the father of Hanifa. That is not true. That title of Hanifa is given to him because he was a man who had written many books. A great author, he had written many books, and that is why that title was given to him, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh's father, whose name was Thabit, when he was born, his father, as in the grandfather of Imam Abu Hanifa, Hazrat Thabit was taken when he was a baby to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Ali is the son-in-law of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hazrat Thabit radiallahu ta'ala was there. The father took him, the grandfather, and said, Hazrat, this is my son Thabit. Can you make dua for him? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala picked him up and prayed on him and made dua for him that Allah bless him, bless this child, and bless all the children that come from this child Thabit. And the fuqaha say that it is this dua of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala that was accepted, that the son of Thabit was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, whose name was Nu'man. So this great status is given to Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, my respected brothers. There is always a turning point in a person's life, and we have to be extremely careful, my respected brothers. Sometimes what happens is that we feel that alhamdulillah, yes, we are practicing and we perform salat 5 times a day, and we are regular in all our fara'is. Huzur alayhi salatu was salam has said that the fear should always be in the heart. Huzur alayhi salatu was salam has said that the fate, the taqdeer is quite incredible. A man in his entire life has been obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All his life, 97-98% of his life was in full obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, because of one guna, and the gravity of that guna is such that 98% of his obedience is wiped out totally. And before his death, he dies in the condition of kufr. So we have to be very, very careful. That is why when we give salam to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ayat that are there, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ السَّمِيعُ عَلِيمٌ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. That don't even raise your voice in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The penalty of that sin, to raise your voice in front of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is such that all your a'mal are wiped out. All your good deeds are taken away. The ulama say that after the revelation of this ayat kareema, the companions were very, very careful. When they would come to Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, they would speak to him with great adab and very, very quietly. So we have to be very, very careful. And then there are some people that who have sinned their entire life. They have never been obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman might be there, or iman might not even be there. They might be in the condition of being kufr or whatever, subhanallah. And the munafiqeen are still there until today. Hypocrisy is still there. That is why the South African Maulana all the time, his bayan comes to the mind, incredible words, what he said. He says, when Imam Mahdi, when he comes out, the so-called kuffar will not target Imam Mahdi, but it will be the hypocrites the munafiqeen amongst the Muslims, whose name will resemble to the names of the companions and Muhammad and Yusuf and Allahu Alam, all the names. But they will be hypocrites, they will be munafiqeen, and they will be the first people to target Hazrat Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala, not the kuffar. And it is no surprise, my respected brothers. So we have to fear nifaq sometimes, subhanAllah. A person is straight, before his death everything goes wrong. And sometimes everything is wrong, but for one amal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide him. This is the reality in the world that we live in, and this is what is taqdeer. So we have to be fearful all the time. There is a turning point. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, when he was born, mashallah, in Kufa, he came from a family that were all great business people. He was not a mayman. But mashallah, all of them were business minded people. All of them were business minded people. And then we have to be careful. Alhamdulillah, we must make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give wealth to all the Muslims. But that wealth which will bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Fatima and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when Hazrat Hassan and Hussein were ill, they made a dua, a nazar, that Ya Allah, we will fast for 3 days. We will fast for 3 days, inshaAllah. And we hope that by the barakat of these roza, Hazrat Hassan and Hussein will be given shifa. And Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala started to fast for the first day. When it was time for Maghrib, there was only a few khajur there, dastarkhan, for iftari. As they were about to break their fast roza, someone knocked on the door, a miskeen, and said that, O Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, I'm a poor man and I'm very, very hungry. And both of them are fasting here. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala stands up and gives everything away to that miskeen. Nothing was there. But this was their condition. Whether they had wealth or whether they did not have any money. But the level of iman was so high, all the time. The second day, nothing in the house again. Someone gave hadiyah. Someone knew that Hazrat is fasting. Again, khajur was there. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants to test His servants and His slaves, there is no one there to stop Him. Exactly at Maghrib time, when it is the time of iftari, both of them are there. The daughter of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, and another miskeen comes. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala is about to put that luqma in the mouth. She puts it down and says, no, this man is more miskeen. He is more needy than us. Hazrat Ali stands up again, and this continues for 3 days. Can you see? For 3 days, both of them, Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Fatima, for the sake of Hazrat Hassan and Hussein, the grandsons of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, have spent their time only by the means of water. Fasting at suhoor, drink water, and at iftari time, they would drink water. Subhanallah. Nothing would change in my respected brothers. And that is how we should be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this dunya, then alhamdulillah, we should even show that sacrifice, and that should not change us, but in fact that should bring us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a changing point in a person's life for the good or for the bad. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was a businessman. When he grew up as a child, the father and all the relations were of pious family, but business minded. MashaAllah, they had a lot of business. Until one day when he was walking past the house of Imam Sha'bi Imam al-Sha'abi was a great muhaddith at that time. And Imam al-Sha'abi, rahmatullah alayhi, was sitting. And it is all in the open. The students would come and listen to the Shaykh and then they would go away. So Hazrat Imam al-Sha'abi, rahmatullah alayhi, saw Imam al-Azam Abu Hanifa, who was young at that time, thinking that he is a student. And he did not come to his class and he just walked past. The Imam al-Sha'abi shouted at him, "Oh young man, Najawan, where are you going?" The Imam Abu Hanifa looked at him, says, "Well, I'm going for tijarat to that merchant, that trader." So he says, "You are not a student here." Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, then turned his face completely at Imam al-Sha'abi and looked at him and said that, "No, I am not a student here." Imam al-Sha'abi, rahmatullah alayh, looked at him for a bit. And he said to him that, "I see signs on your face that will make you a great person. There is great qualities that are hidden inside you. That is what I see. My mashwara to you is that leave whatever you are doing and sit in the company of the pious people and become a student and learn from me what is the Quran and Hadith." Imam Shabi said that to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, and it was like bullets going, hitting you straight into the heart, affecting you. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh left everything and would come every day in the majlis of Imam Shabi rahmatullah alayh. Subhanallah, respected brothers, it is all about the face. Some faces are so powerful. Hazrat Abu al-Hasan al-Karkhani rahmatullah alayhi would say that Hazrat Bayazid Bustani rahmatullah alayhi's face was so awesome and breathtaking that if a kafir, a disbeliever, was to look directly at the face of Bayazid Bustani rahmatullah alayhi, just looked at him for a few minutes, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would untie the knot of kufr from his heart. Untie the knots of kufr from his heart and he would come one step closer to Islam. This is how powerful some of the people of Buzurganidi. In the Naqshbandi silsila, we have a Buzurg whose name is Hazrat Khaja Hasan Sahwag rahmatullah alayh, who in India was famously known that he had converted many, many Hindus to Muslims. One was Hazrat Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullah alayh, but another one was Hazrat Khaja Hasan Sahwag rahmatullah alayh, who is from the silsila in Naqshbandiya. It is said that he converted many Hindu youths to Islam, many Hindu youths. And some of the Hindu community people there filed a complaint against him in the courts, and Hazrat Khaja Hasan Sahwag rahmatullah alayh was told to come in, and he was interrogated. All the Hindu people were there and said that so and so person has become a Muslim because Khaja Sahib forces our youth to become a Muslim. All of them are Muslims, all of them are Muslims, all of them are Muslims. They are Muslims now because they were all Hindus before, but because of Khaja Sahib they have become, they were Hindus and now they have become Muslims. He stood in the court and the magistrate was a Hindu and said to him that you have been accused that you force Hindus to become Muslim. Now can you force anyone to become a Muslim, my brother? Can you force anyone? Can you put a gun on somebody's head and say, "Right, say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah," and does Allah accept that kalima? Allah does not accept that kalima. Allah is Beniyaz, He is Mustagni. You either accept it with your heart or you move away. There are other people to accept. Hazrat Khaja Hasan said that, "I don't know what you are talking about. I force no one. La ikraha fi deen. There is no compulsion in this beautiful deen." And he looked at some of the Hindu people that were standing in front of him. And the court is open. He is there in the middle, in that platform where you stand in India. And he says, "You are accusing me of what? Forcing them of converting them to Islam? No. All I say to them," and he pointed at some of the people on his left hand side, who was a Hindu, who was wearing the traditional Hindu clothes, he says, you are a Hindu? So Hazrat looked at him, and this was the tower. Hazrat looked at him and said to him, you are a Hindu? I'm not pointing at anyone here, huh? Just there. We are all Muslims, alhamdulillah. You are a Hindu? He said, no, I'm not a Hindu. I am a Muslim. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasul. He said, then you must be a Hindu. He says, no, I am not also a Hindu. I am a Muslim. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasul. And as it continued, everyone in the court, every single one became a Muslim, until as it turned around and pointed to the magistrate looked down, and he says, no, I have understood everything, and you are free to go. These were Alawa. These were great Buzrug Alirin. It is said that when Hazrat Khaja al-Karkhani rahmatullah alayhi said to the students that when you look at the face of Bayezid Bustami, it would affect the hearts of the kuffar, one of the students stood up and he says, Hazrat, and some of the students can be not cheeky, but subhanAllah, you get all sorts of students. He said, Hazrat, if that is the case, then why didn't Abu Jahl accept Islam? Whose face is more precious than the face of Rasulullah? Say Adam. And Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam's face was incredible. SubhanAllah. No face is like the face like Huzur alayhi salam. And there is no description that fits better to the face of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam than what the companions have described him at the latter part of his age when he became ill. Few days before his demise, when he opened up the curtain of his hujra and Siddiqui Akbar was sitting on the musalla, all the companions says, when you saw the face of Huzur alayhi salam, كَأَنَّهُ وَرَكَةُ مُصْحَفٍ, it was the nur that we would witness when we would read the Quran, that was the nur we saw on the face of Huzur alayhi salam. It was as if one page of the Quran opened up in front of us. They would see no difference between Huzur alayhi salam and the Quran. The Quran was revealed, the Kalam of Allah was revealed to Huzur alayhi salam. كَأَنَّهُ وَرَقَةُ مُصْحَفٍ. That is how powerful the face is. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِمْ. That's why some of the ulama said, they dari rakho. Kya rakho? Dari rakho. And there is a reason for that. This face is your main identity. When you, in your passport, it's not your body that you show, or your hands, or your legs, nothing. It's your face. Your face is everything. Chehra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ. The signs of Iman were on their faces. This is the description given in the Quran with reference to Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in, describing them, that their Iman was visible on their face. SubhanAllah. And what was I saying? What? Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam's face? Very, very powerful. Seemahum fi wujuhin. Hazrat Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullah alayhi has said something very beautiful. He said, how lucky was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq when Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was making hijrat. Absallallahu alayhi wasallam stayed in Ghare Hira, Ghare Thawr. In Ghare Thawr, Absallallahu alayhi wasallam rested on the lap of Siddiq Akbar. That means that the head of Huzur alayhi salam, the auspicious head, was on the lap of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Hazrat Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullah alayhi says that that lap of Siddiq Akbar was like the riyal. Ye riyal nahi hamara? Upon, we put the Quran on that, a desk, that is what, in our times it is riyal, easy to understand. So the lap of Siddiq Akbar was the riyal, the desk. And the auspicious head of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam was the Quran. And Siddiq Akbar was the privileged one that he could recite the Quran on the face of Huzur alayhi salam. And this was only experienced by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. So this talib ilm question, Hazrat Abu Hassan al-Karkhani rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Abu Hassan al-Karkhani rahmatullah alayhi got very angry and said to him, or ignorant one. When did Abu Jahl ever have the power to see eye to eye with Huzur alayhi salam? Who had that power? It was famously known in the companions that it was only Siddiq Akbar and Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala that their two eyes would meet the eyes of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. The noor and the ra'ab, the awe of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was such that when the companions would see Huzur alayhi salam, it was a quick glimpse and then they would look down. Abu Jahl never ever saw Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam as Muhammad Rasulullah. Whenever he pictured Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, he only pictured Muhammad bin Abdullah, Muhammad the son of Abdullah. Never did it come to his mind that could he ever be Muhammad Rasulullah, and that is why Iman was never given to him. But even for one second, any of the mushrikeen who ever thought, is there a possibility that this great man who is standing in front of us, he is not Muhammad bin Abdullah, but Muhammad Rasulullah, then the barakat and the barakat of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give them guidance. Subhanallah al-Azim. And that is why Abdullah bin Salam, the biggest alim in Madinatul Munawwara, Jewish scholar, when he saw the face of Huzur alayhi salam, he said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. He was a scholar. He did not hesitate. He did not ask for proof. Yahudi, the biggest scholar in Madinatul Munawwara, Abdullah bin Salam, saw the face and he says, Wallahi, hadhal waj laysa bikadhibi, that this face is not the face of an imposter, ma'adallah. It is the face of the great Nabi, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala an, after becoming Muslim, Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam said to him, don't sit in front of me. Imagine how powerful the face of Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam was, that Iman and Kufr, subhanallah, it was at a pivotal point. When you look at Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam, Hazrat Wahshi was told by Huzur alayhi salam to sit on the side. Because Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala played a part in assassinating Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam said that if anything comes into my heart and I am affected by it, there is a possibility that Allah will take that noor of Iman out from your heart. Subhanallah. This is how powerful Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam's status was. My respected brothers, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's face was recognized by Imam Sha'bi rahmatullah alayhi, and subhanallah, it was a turning point in his life. And this Imam, wherever he went, mashallah, thousands and thousands of people followed him. Incredible life. When he was in Kufa, he was put in prison. Then he went to Makkatul Mukarrama, Madinatul Munawwara, because he saw at that time Islam was not practiced to its full, in its entirety. He left, he made hijrat, he went to Madinatul Munawwara. When he went to Madinatul Munawwara, the love he had for the city of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam's area where Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam is resting, Madinatul Munawwara, it is said that he never ever urinated or never ever went to the toilet in Madinatul Munawwara. Never. Kabhi bhi istinja Madinatul Munawwara mein aapne nahi kiya. Nada kare. The love he had. Every time he had the need to go to the toilet, go for the call of nature, he would make safar. He was well away from the boundaries of Madinatul Munawwara. Go there and relieve himself and then come back. And his stay in Madinatul Munawwara was only for a limited period of time. Quickly he would go away. He had this fear that maybe I might not respect the city of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He went back to Kufa. When he went back to Kufa at that time, it was the Khilafat of the Abbasiyin. And Khalifa and Mansur at that time said to him that you must take the position of becoming the Qazi of that region at that time. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi refused and he was imprisoned. Some of the scholars have said that the janaza of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh that came out was from the jail, from the prison. And even in prison, thousands and thousands of students would go to him and they would benefit from him. The great Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayh, one of the backbone of the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, his entire Islamic education comes from that area where Hazrat was in prison, from jail. Jail se unhone pura education hasil kiya. These were our great scholars, my respected brothers, and Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh is resting in Iraq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him jazai khair. What else can we say but that by the barakah of these great awliyaullah, shuyukh that are resting in Iraq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless that entire region of Iraq, and may haq prevail and may falsehood perish. There is no doubt that it is our a'mal and we are paying for our evil actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we come close to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the only way we can defeat anyone that is standing in front of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a'lan in the Quran, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Victory is for you. Allah will give you victory. Victory is only for you. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, with three people, fought 1 million. How many? 3 and 1 million. Yet the iman, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allah ki utar barosa. There is one other thing also. It's not just all about having tawakkul on Allah. Allah has even given a sense that if you have a toothache, go to Dr. Abdul Qadir Sweda, whoever your dentist is, or if you're ill, go to your doctor, or if your car's not running well, go to the mechanic. Subhanallah. So with your dua, with your taqwa, Allah has given us intelligence also that we have to seek out and also be fast forward in the technology that we see around us. We Muslims should be the pioneers of everything. Inshallah ta'ala, if we take that step, no doubt, things can change very, very quickly. Look at the condition of Germany. After the war today, what has happened? Look at Japan. Everyone has worked so hard in Islamic education and also in secular education. And inshallah ta'ala, both of these sciences fit together. With your taqwa, with your iman, with the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kamiyabi is for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Dua kareem. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك. اللهم شتت شملهم، اللهم مزج جمعهم، اللهم دمر ديارهم، اللهم كسر أعمارهم، اللهم كرم آجالهم، اللهم أهلكم كما أهلكت قوم عاد وثمود. اللهم أخذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.